What a big difference one day, huh? Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, and David grew steadily stronger, but the house of Saul grew weaker continually. Sons were born to David at Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. His second, Shelah by Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. The sixth, Ithream by David's wife, Eglah. These were born to David at Hebron. And it came about that there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness to the house of Saul your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hands of David, and yet today you charge me with a guilt concerning the woman. May God do so to Abner, and more also, if, as if the Lord has sworn to David, I do not accomplish this for him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to establish the throne of David over Israel, and over Judah, even Dan, even to Beersheba." And he could no longer answer Abner a word, because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers to David in his place, saying, "Whose is the land? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel over to you." And he said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you, but I demand one thing of you, namely, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see me." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, to whom I was betrothed, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel, the son of Laish. But her husband went with her, weeping as he went, and followed her as far as Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go, return." So he returned. Now Abner had consultation with the elders of Israel, saying, "In times past, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.' And Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. And in addition, Abner went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and to the whole house of Benjamin. Then Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, 'Let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord, the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may be king over all that your soul desires.' So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoils with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army and all that was with him arrived, they told Joab, saying, 'Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace.' Then Joab came to the king and said, 'What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why then have you sent him away, and he is already gone? You know Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you and learn of your going out and coming in and to find out all that you're doing.' When Joab came out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the well of Sirah, but David did not know it. So when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gate to speak with him privately, and there he struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, 'I and my kingdom are innocent before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. May it fall on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and may there not fail from the house of Joab one who has a discharge, or one who is a leper, or one who takes hold of a distaff, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks bread.' So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, 'Tear your clothes and gird on sackcloth and lament before Abner.' And King David walked behind the bier. Thus they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king chanted a lament for Abner and said, 'Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen.' And all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was still day. But David vowed and said, May God do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else before the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, just as everything the king did pleased all the people. So all the people in all Israel understood that day that it had not been the will of the king to put Abner, the son of Ner, to death. Then the king said to his servants, Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I am weak today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too difficult for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil. Amen. Okay. So we get to the point of the house of David contrast to the house of Saul. The house of David's getting stronger. And obviously, part of that whole idea is he's having kids. Now, some of these kids, if you read later on, end up doing much trouble to David, and particularly Absalom, the son of Maacah. This was not a marriage of love. This was a marriage that was politically driven. And so, as a result, you know, later on, things start happening. It's unfortunate. The simple note here, you can see he's got, what, one, two, three, let's see what, one, two, three, four, five, all with different women. The last one, the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife, Eglah. Eglah is Michal, that Saul's daughter that eventually they bear a child. We'll get to later on. And so there's war between this house, and what ends up happening during this time, Saul has his concubine, Rizpah, she's this beautiful woman, and unfortunately, Abner takes her in, and this is not just an act of adultery or fornication. This actually is an act of treason. When a king, when the rulership is passed down to somebody else, his sons or whatnot, all of the properties, everything that he owned, everything actually now comes into the subject of the new king. And so even though Ishbosheth, it doesn't really say that if he loved her, nothing like that, but for Abner to actually join himself with Saul's concubine was an act of war. It was a way of saying, I am taking over this kingdom. To take any property in any way, it would be to take a well that belonged to the king, to take a concubine, or whatever it may be. And so Ishbosheth's response to Abner is very righteous. It's actually very correct and says, what are you doing? You know, how can you do such a thing? And you can see through Abner's response of where his heart's at. And Abner, now he's consolidating power. Remember, he basically puts up a puppet king into this place. And he is consolidating strength all throughout. He's gaining power. He's gaining influence. And so Abner believes he is above the law. He believes that no one can touch him, not even the king. Now, brothers and sisters, that becomes very, very dangerous. That becomes very dangerous, not only in this setting here, but also at your work. It becomes dangerous in church. You know, have you ever met people in church that believe they're above the law, that they are untouchable in a sense, and that even the senior pastor doesn't speak into their life at all? I've seen this happen, and it's really sad. And it's a incredibly deceptive and sad state. But the true heart comes out. Abner's heart comes out of this whole thing. And Ishbosheth saying a very proper statement: you ought not to do this. This is not proper. Not just, I mean, to your own wife and all that kind of stuff. But this is not proper in the way that the kingdom is run here. And Abner is offended. It's that spirit of offense. How dare you? Now notice, Ishbosheth is saying a righteous thing, a very righteous thing regarding this. And the offense, how dare you? Do you know, basically he's saying, do you know who I am? am I a dog? You know, in this whole tribe, do you understand the strength that I have? And then he turns and says, today I swear that your kingdom will go down, and I'm gonna. And look at his arrogance. I am going to give the kingdom to David. Who gives the kingdom to David? Right? I mean, who is it that gives land title? Who is it that it's God and God alone? And yet when you feel like you're above the law, you feel like you're like God. And so he says, I'm the one that's going to join all the kingdoms, join all the people, the tribes, to transfer the kingdom of the house of Saul, to establish the throne of David over Israel, over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. I'm going to do this thing. Oh, it's like, oh my goodness, man. Now you know why he dies shortly after this. And so Abner sends messengers to David. David says, good, I want one thing. I want Michelle. I want what's rightfully mine, basically. And he had seemed to hold this grudge way back in the beginning. Because remember, Saul, when he was in his right mind, said, yeah, this is your wife. And then Saul, when he goes crazy, no, he gives her away to someone. So she becomes like this chattel in some ways. And he basically says, I want righteously what's mine. And she's my wife. And so do that. But notice David, verse 14. So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth. See, David still follows the proper royal protocol here. He doesn't respond to Abner. He responds to Ishbosheth because he's the king. I mean, he's the king set up in this area. And so they make an exchange, and you know, you have this kind of weird story that the husband follows along. He's crying the whole way. You know, say, just get over it, man. She's not your wife to begin with. And so he returns, and then look what Abner has all these consultations, and now he contradicts just a few chapters before the words that he shared with these same people. He says, you know, the Lord put David in command. That's not what he said a few chapters before, you know, when he put Ishbosheth in. So you see the two-facedness of Abner. And then you'll know later on in verse 25, you got to catch this. He says, you know Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you. What is that phrase? King David, you know who Abner is. You know that this is a two-faced, power-hungry son of a biscuit. And here you are, you're going to let him come and do this? Give me a break. And this, I mean, this, you know, how can you do such a thing? And David knows Abner's character. Joab knows Abner's character. Most people around know Abner's character. But still, unfortunately, some people are still very deceived by this type of character. He's smooth-talking. He's probably good-looking. He's obviously quite powerful and quite strong. And so very easy to lead so many people astray. And so he consults them. They think, okay, good. That's a good idea, basically. And the tribe that he had to convince them the most was the tribe of Benjamin. And the tribe of Benjamin, because that was Saul's tribe. And so Benjamin, it says it, in verse 19, and it seemed good to Israel and to the whole house of Benjamin. So they're all on board. So now Joab comes back from war, and he says, all right, what happened? What's going on? And he dislikes what just took place. And I think a lot of times Joab is really trying to protect David. And you'll see his loyalty all throughout the rest of the text. And so Joab calls Abner, and then he kills him by the well. After this happens, so the brothers avenge the death of their brother. Now, there's nothing unrighteous about this, according to these times here. The only issue could be that battle was actually done in war. But according to their tradition, there's nothing wrong necessarily with this kind of revenge. But then David, he mourns Abner. And, I mean, he just loses it. Just like he did when it came to Saul and to Jonathan. He sings a song of lament. He asks all the men to tear their clothes, all of his servants. He calls all of them to a place of weeping. He fasts, which is another sign of lamentation. He goes into a fast. He takes care of all these things. But this actually accomplished a couple of different purposes. And I don't know if David did this, was like motivated politically somehow, or he's just like a really like touchy-feely guy, you know, and he really just constantly is crying over. I don't know. It's one of these things. But some good happened out of this. And one, the people that were there and were witnessing the lament came to a conclusion that this was not the king's will, that it was not something that he had designed, that it was done outside of his will. And as a result, it says, look at verse 36. And it says, now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, just as everything the king did pleased all the people. So all the people in all Israel understood that day that it had not been the will of the king to put Abner the son of Ner to death, and so on and so forth. And so through this, he was able to actually keep that trust from the other tribes that were on the other side of the Jordan. He was able to basically assure them that, you know, he's not going to go on some killing rampage or anything like that, with Joab or Abner being the first, and then go after all the traitors and whatnot. And so when they saw his lament, they realized, oh, he really cared for him, and this is not part of some grand military political strategy to wipe out his traitors or his enemies in that way. And it seemed good to the people, and that's kind of what happened. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's think about Abner again. He is above the law. You know, we come into a lot of danger ourselves when we feel like we are above the law. When we feel like, no, those rules apply to other people, those rules don't apply to me. Oh yeah, lying, yeah, that's other people. But I'm close to God, so I can do a white lie. It doesn't really apply to me. And the moment you start lifting yourself up above the authorities that God has put in place, you make yourself out to be an enemy of God. And that's precisely what happens to Abner. And he was deceitful, and you know what I mean? And he wanted to consolidate power. He was just power-hungry, two-faced guy. But he gets his own. You'll never escape the wrath of God when we operate in this way. And in church, you feel like you're above the law. Oh man, I don't have to do GIC. You know, I don't need to go to house church. I just do whatever I want. And the moment you start operating in that fashion, as a member of this house, you turn yourself into an enemy in many ways. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you, even in your work. Do you feel like, I don't have to listen to my boss? I just get by with doing the bare minimum. Or whatever the case may be, at church, in your family, I don't have to listen to my parents. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Well, if you're in their house, you abide by their rules. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us if there is any part of our hearts that have this demonic attitude of I'm above the law. Your glory is beyond all. Let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts over those areas of our heart where we have this attitude of Abner. We feel like we're above all authority and rule. You know, a lot of times if you think about it, when we sin, what we're saying is we are above God and God's ways. It's my way. It's what I want to do. And when the Holy Spirit begins to highlight areas of our heart, let's repent. Let's repent. Let's pray. Go to our community focus and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing. pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask God's hand to be upon this nation. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyun Su and Chloe and Enoch. Let's pray for the Chung family, their ministry there. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark and the churches. And ask God to just continue to strengthen the churches that are there, that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Let's pray. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for our men's ministry, the Monday prayer, Pure Desire, men's fraternity. Pray for our women's ministry, the Monday prayer and the discipleship class starting. Pray for young adults, the Lord would touch them. Pray for springs, love after marriage, and the new season that will be coming soon. Let's lift up our leaders and our participants and ask them to really step in into the presence and the purposes of God. Let's pray for SP 2.0. God would continue to launch us in our vision for a new building and resources. Pray for a benefactor and also part of that. Pray for our auction that's coming up. And let's ask God to really bless that evening. Let's lift up. Let's lift up the house churches meeting tonight. Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, and Robin Hood. Let's pray for the leaders and the hosts, and just the presence of God will be with us as we grow in love with Him and with one another. Let's go to our member focus and let's pray for Sydney from MacDaddy House Church. Let's pray for her to live out Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, to seek God above all, and then for our mom to forgive and for her dad to know God. Let's lift up Sydney and her family. Next, let's pray for Sylvia Kwok from Olympic House Church. Pray that God will heal Sister Cleon completely, that God would help to achieve financial freedom as soon as possible, and that God opens another door for her career and business. So let's lift up Sylvia. Let's pray for Vincent Cheng from MacDaddy House Church. Pray for wisdom and Holy Spirit guidance in his new role at work, and learn to trust God while making plans, and pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in his life. Let's lift up Vincent. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, for the word today. Lord, I pray that we would just be very mindful in our hearts, God. And when there's areas, Lord, that it starts lifting up, Lord, above you, above the law, God, above the authorities, Lord, that you've given to us. And when those times happen, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just put a check in our mind and that we would step into that place of repentance, God. No one is above the law, God. No one is above you, Lord. And so forgive us when we act like it, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just watch over us today. Help us to glorify your Son, Jesus, in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.